I'm Lynn Neary in for Michelle Martin, who's ill today. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, two important religious leaders passed away this week. We'll talk about the legacies they leave behind. But first, a romantic scandal and a $9 million bill to the taxpayers has Detroit's Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick asking his city for forgiveness.
Good evening, Detroit. I want to start tonight by saying to the citizens of this great city, I'm sorry. To all of you who have believed in what we've been doing here since 2002, to all of you who have believed in me and my leadership, to all of you who have stuck with me through very difficult times, to all of you who've prayed for me, I'm sorry.
On Wednesday night, the mayor and his wife addressed publicly what's been dubbed the text message scandal. The scandal erupted when the Detroit Free Press obtained nearly 14,000 text messages from former chief of staff Christine Beatty's city-issued pager. The text messages showed that contrary to Beatty's and the mayor's sworn testimony in a police whistleblower trial last summer, the two were indeed having a romantic and sexual relationship. The issue at the trial was whether Kilpatrick and Beatty had fired several police officers for pursuing an investigation into the mayor's inner circle that might have exposed the affair. Settlement of the lawsuit cost the taxpayers more than $9 million. And for some residents, that's a steep bill to pay for a city that's still struggling to provide services. We're going to have two separate conversations about all this. First, with radio talk show host Mildred Gaddis. She hosts a top-rated program at Radio 1 in Detroit. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, I'm happy to join you.
Now, first, as I understand it, it's fair to say that you were not a big fan of the mayor before all this began, right?
Well, I wonder who you've been talking with. I'm a fan of Detroit. And no, I have not been a Kwame Kilpatrick cheerleader. No, not at all.
Yeah. So how did you react when you heard all this? Were you surprised, angry, disappointed, or did you expect something like this if you were such a critic of the mayor?
Well, you know, there's a saying, sometimes our character will take us places where our talents will take us places where our character cannot keep us. I am not surprised by the revelations here of the last week. There are many of us who were well aware of this affair. This is not something that has occurred just for a couple of years. This is a very long-standing affair, and most people, informed people in Detroit, were well aware of it. Perhaps what people are most shocked by are the contents that have been found in some of those text messages. The Detroit Free Press, the newspaper that uncovered these messages, said that for the most part, these messages were rated XXX. They really did not put the hot stuff out there that would have been disrespectful and quite harmful to some people. There were conversations reportedly the two of them had through texting that were about his family members, about politicians, and a lot of things going on in the city. You know, Kwame Kilpatrick's reign as mayor has been plagued with scandal, one scandal after another. So, no, of course not. I was not surprised by this. What has surprised me is that some of this stuff is finally being exposed.
What's your sense of how much support he does still have in the city, though? Does he have a lot?
Well, you have to understand that Kwame Kilpatrick has remained mayor for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's done a fairly decent job with the downtown area. In addition to that, he's done something that is very popular in the city of Detroit, and that is when people claim that what I call the black card, when he gets in trouble, he talks about white people being racist and the white media. I'm black. They're picking on me because I'm a big black guy. Those are the kinds of things that he says. And there are a lot of people in this city who see themselves as victims, and so they will embrace that. You need to understand that there's a 50% illiteracy rate in the city of Detroit.
Well, let me ask you about this. I mean, this may be something that we don't like to contemplate, but it's not the first time a politician has had an affair. Senator David Vitter of Louisiana was named one of the clients of an escort service. Gavin Newsom, mayor of San Francisco, slept with his chief of staff. Antonio Villaraigosa, L.A. mayor, had an adulterous affair. Bill Clinton. And none of these people had to resign. So is there some truth to that idea that if you're talking about an African-American politician, you've got to hold them to a higher standard?
No, it's not. The difference here is that he seems to have financed this affair with public funds. That's the issue. That's issue number two, one. Number two, which is what should be, which is probably issue number one for him, is he is accused. It is very likely that he paid $9 million of taxpayers' money to settle a lawsuit brought against him in exchange for the plaintiffs and the lawyers keeping the text messages secret. Therein lies the problem.
Mm-hmm. And let me just correct myself. I said that Gavin Newsom, mayor of San Francisco, slept with his chief of staff. It was with his chief of staff's wife. I just want to make that correction.
Pardon me?
I just was correcting myself about something I said, but I did want to move on and just ask you that is it fair at all to say that his privacy should have been respected here at all? This is something that the mayors seem to be calling for, saying it was a personal matter.
The mayor wasn't private when he literally destroyed the lives, the careers of some fine, upstanding police officers. He was not private about it at all. He wasn't private when he used taxpayer police officers to stand in his mistress' driveway and protect him in her house while her husband was at work, instructing them not to allow anybody into the home. You see, the mayor can't have it both ways. He's been very public about this affair. He's been very public as he used taxpayers' funds to hide not only this affair. 2 weeks ago, he was down at a resort with some other woman that's been revealed by an investigative team on a local
Mildred Gaddis,
station.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning. We're gonna move on to our next guest. Really appreciate you being with us.
You're quite welcome.
Mildred Gaddis is a radio veteran of more than 33 years, and she has her own show in Detroit with Radio 1. And joining me now is by phone is Detroit City Councilwoman Sheila Cockrell. Thanks so much for being with us, Ms. Cockrell.
My pleasure.
Councilwoman Cockrell, you heard the mayor's apology Wednesday night, and as he said he went to work and attended meetings Thursday morning. Today he's announcing a new vehicle repair program. Is this business as usual, and is that going to work?
Well, I think it's important that the business of the city continue and that the resurgence of Detroit that has been taking place in spite of the state of our state and local economies continue. We need to be reminded in what sort of becomes a definition, something that defines what can and can't and should and shouldn't be talked about, is that there is an ongoing criminal investigation by the Wayne County Prosecutor's Prosecuting Attorney's Office into the allegation that Mayor Kilpatrick and Chief of Staff Beattie may have committed perjury on the stand in the Brown-Nelthorpe case, and that really does becomes a major determinant of sort of this next period. That investigation must go forward unfettered by politics and, you know, media hysteria and anything else, and needs to be concluded. And until that investigation is concluded, everyone involved has a presumption of innocence. This is still the United States of America. There still is the presumption that people are innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. So I'm sort of one of the voices saying that we have to keep that in mind. And for me as an elected official with a fiduciary obligation for the city, need to temper remarks in relationship to this matter. Because of that fact, there's serious, serious issues that have not yet been addressed. I think the mayor's apology was sincere. I think his wife was a woman, and as a woman, I can say I was, her stature rose in my mind dramatically with the manner and way in which she handled the situation. But it is not a resolved matter whatsoever.
The mayor is saying that he won't resign. We have a clip of tape. Let's listen to that.
Over the past few days, there has also been a lot of speculation about me resigning from office. Let me be clear tonight. I would never quit on you, ever. We got a lot of work to do, and with your help, I'm going to continue to lead this city in getting the work done.
Ultimately, how much choice is he going to have in that matter? I mean, what are you hearing from your constituents?
What I'm hearing is a great deal of disappointment. People are happy that the and feel that there was sincerity in the apology, but there are many unanswered questions. And over the course of time, first with the criminal investigation and wherever that goes, and then with appropriate city council-driven initiatives that deal with the policy issues that are raised by this entire situation, at the appropriate time, those investigations will begin as well. But at this point, you know, it's important to let the legal process run its course. That's the, you know, that's the appropriate, all-American thing to do.
Right. But you've been in Detroit politics for more than 15 years. Do you think,
yes,
Mr. Kilpatrick will survive this?
It is, in my estimation, the preferred outcome is that this mayor complete his term and that we then address the future and let the people then speak about, you know, what is the expectation for leadership in Detroit in the next election. Whether that will happen or not is going to be driven in part by what happens in a criminal investigation and the fact that, you know, as has been indicated, there's 14,000 text messages and there is, a court that's going to take up the issue of whether or not those can or cannot be released and then, you know, potentially the next week or so. This is a very fluid situation, but at this point, the best thing for Detroit is for this mayor to continue in office to the best of his ability to continue to lead the city's resurgence. But it is it's a very fluid situation.
And just very briefly, any chance of a recall vote?
Well, you know, recalls are part of Detroit politics, and frankly, in my own personal experience, since there have been multiple efforts to try to recall me, every time somebody tries it, you go up, not down.
Okay. So
I think people have to be very strategic who think that that's the kind of strategy to follow.
All right, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Sheila Cockrell is a Detroit council member. She joined us by phone from her office in City Hall. You can hear more about what listeners are saying about the Detroit mayor's crisis coming up in this week's Back Talk.